following reading is taken from the detached papers of David Brainerd. Some gloomy and desponding thoughts of a soul under conviction of sin and concern for its eternal salvation. 1. I believe my case is singular. The nun ever had so many strange and different thoughts and feelings as I. 2. I have been concerned much longer than many others I have known, or concerning whom I have read, who have been savingly converted, and yet I am left. 3. I have withstood the power of convictions a long time, and therefore I fear I shall be finally left of God. 4. I never shall be converted without stronger convictions and greater terrors of conscience. 5. I do not aim at the glory of God in anything I do, and therefore I cannot hope for mercy. 6. I do not see the evil nature of sin, nor the sin of my nature, and therefore I am discouraged. 7. The more I strive, the more blind and hard my heart is, and the worse I grow continually. 8. I fear God never showed mercy to one so vile as I. 9. I fear I am not elected, and therefore must perish. I fear the day of grace is past with me. 11. I fear I've committed the unpardonable sin. 12. I am an old sinner, and if God had designed mercy for me, he would have called me home to himself before now. From the letters of David Brainerd to his brother John, then a student at Yale College, New Haven, Conemaugh, April 30th, 1741. Brother, I should tell you I long to see you, but that my own experience has taught me there is no happiness and plenary satisfaction to be enjoyed in earthly friends, though ever so near and dear, or in any enjoyment that is not in God himself. Therefore, if the God of all grace would be pleased graciously to afford us each his presence and grace, that we may perform the work and endure the trials he calls us to, in a most distressing, tiresome wilderness, until we arrive at our journey's end, the local distance at which we are held from each other at the present is a matter of no great importance or moment to either of us. But alas, the presence of God is what I lack. I live in a most lonely, melancholy desert, about 18 miles from Albany, for it was not thought best that I should go to the Delaware River, as I believe I hinted to you in a letter from New York. I board with a poor Scotchman. His wife can talk scarce any English. My diet consists mostly of hasty pudding, boiled corn, and bread baked in the ashes, and sometimes a little meat and butter. My lodging is a little heap of straw laid upon some boards, a little way from the ground, for it is a log room without any floor that I lodge in. My work is exceeding hard and difficult. I travel on foot a mile and a half, the worst of ways, almost daily and back again, for I live so far from my Indians. I have not seen an English person this month. These and many other circumstances as uncomfortable attend me, and yet my spiritual conflicts and distresses so far exceed all these that I scarce think of them, or hardly mind but that I am entertained in the most sumptuous manner. The Lord grant that I may learn to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. As to my success here, I cannot say much as yet. The Indians seem generally kind and well-disposed towards me, and are mostly very attentive to my instructions and seem willing to be taught further. Two or three, I hope, are under some convictions, but there seems to be little of the special working of the divine spirit among them yet, which gives me many a heart-sinking hour. Sometimes I hope God has abundant blessings in store for them and me. Other times I am so overwhelmed with distress that I cannot see how his dealings with me are consistent with covenant love and faithfulness. And I say, surely his tender mercies are clean gone forever. But however, I see I needed all this chastisement already. It is good for me that I have endured these trials and have hitherto little or no apparent success. Do not be discouraged by my distress, as I was under great distress to Mr. Pomeroy's when I saw you last. But God has been with me of a truth since that. He helped me sometimes sweetly at Long Island and elsewhere. So always remember that we must, through much tribulation, enter into God's eternal kingdom of rest and peace. The righteous are scarcely saved. It is an infinite wonder that we have well-grounded hopes of being saved at all. For my part, I feel the most vile of any creature living, and I am sure sometimes there is not such another existing on this side of hell. And all you can do for me is to pray incessantly that God would make me humble, wholly resigned, and heavenly minded by all my trials. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Let us run, wrestle, and fight that we may win the prize and obtain that complete happiness to be holy as God is holy. So wish it and praying that you may advance in learning and grace and be fit for special service for God. I remain your affectionate brother, David Brainerd. Letter number 2 to his brother John at Yale College, New Haven, Conemaugh, December 27, 1743. Dear brother, I long to see you and know how you fare in your journey through a world of inexpressible sorrow, where we are compassed about with vanity, confusion, and vexation of spirit. I am weary of life, I think, more than I ever was. The whole world appears to me like a huge vacuum, a vast empty space whence nothing desirable or at least satisfactory can possibly be derived. And I long daily to die more and more to it, even though I obtain not that comfort from spiritual things which I earnestly desire. Worldly pleasures such as flow from greatness, riches, honors, and sensual gratifications are infinitely worse than none. May the Lord deliver us more and more from these vanities. I spent most of the fall and winter hitherto in a weak state of body, and sometimes under pressing inward trials and spiritual conflicts, but having obtained help from God, I continue to this day, and am now something better in health than I was some time ago. I find nothing more conducive to a life of Christianity than a diligent, industrious, and faithful improvement of precious time. Let us then faithfully perform that business which is allotted to us by divine providence to the utmost of our bodily strength and mental vigor. Why should we sink and grow discouraged with any particular trials and perplexities we are called to encounter in the world? Death and eternity are just before us. A few tossing billows more will waft us into the world of spirits, and we hope through infinite grace into endless pleasures and uninterrupted rest and peace. Let us then run with patience the race set before us, Hebrews 12:1-2. And oh, that we could depend more upon the living God and less upon our own wisdom and strength. Dear brother, may the God of all grace comfort your heart and succeed your studies and make you an instrument of good to his people in your day. This is the constant prayer of your affectionate brother, David Brainerd. Letter 3 to his brother Israel at Haddam, Conemaugh, January 21st, 1744. Dear brother, there is but one thing that deserves our highest care and most ardent desires, and that is that we may answer the great end for which we were made, namely, to glorify that God who has given us our beings and all our comforts, and do all the good we possibly can to our fellow men while we live in the world, and verify life is not worth the having if it be not improved for this noble end and purpose. Yet, alas, how little is this the thought of among mankind? Most men seem to live to themselves without much regard to the glory of God or the good of their fellow creatures. They earnestly desire and eagerly pursue after the riches, the honors, and the pleasures of life, as if they really suppose that wealth or greatness or merriment could make their immortal souls happy. Alas, what false and delusive dreams are these! Miserable will those ere long be who are not awakened out of them to see that all their happiness consists in living to God, becoming holy as He is holy. Oh, may you never fall into the tempers and vanities, the sensuality and folly of the present world. You are by divine providence left, as it were, alone in a wide world to act for yourself. Be sure then to remember, it is a world of temptation. You have no earthly parents to be the means of forming your youth to piety and virtue, by their pious examples and seasonable counsels. Let this then excite you with greater diligence and fervency to look up to the Father of mercy for grace and assistance against all the vanities of the world. And if you would glorify God or answer His just expectations from you and make your own soul happy in this and the coming world, these few directions, though not from a father yet from a brother who is touched with a tender concern for your present and future happiness. First, resolve upon and daily endeavor to practice a life of seriousness and strict sobriety. No wise man will tell you the great advantage of such a life in Ecclesiastes 7:3. Think of the life of Christ, and when you can find that He was pleased with jesting and vain merriment, then may you indulge it in yourself. Again, be careful to make a good improvement of precious time. When you cease from labor, fill up your time in reading, meditation, and prayer. And while your hands are laboring, let your heart be employed as much as possible in divine thoughts. Further, take heed that you faithfully perform the business you have to do in the world from a regard to the commands of God and not from an ambitious desire of being esteemed better than others. We should always look upon ourselves as God's servants, placed in God's world, to do His work and accordingly labor faithfully for Him, not with a design to grow rich and great, but to glorify God and to do all the good we possibly can. Again, never expect any satisfaction or happiness from the world. If you hope for happiness in the world, hope for it from God and not from the world. Do not think you shall be more happy if you live to such or such a state of life, if you live to be for yourself, to be settled in the world, or if you should gain an estate in it. But look upon it that you shall then be happy when you can be constantly employed for God and not for yourself, and desire to live in this world only to do and suffer what God allots to you. When you can be of the spirit and temper of angels who are willing to come down into this lower world to perform what God commands them, though their desires are heavenly and not in the least set on earthly things, then you will be of that temper that you ought to have, Colossians 3:2. Once more, never think that you can live to God by your own power or strength, but always look to and rely on Him for assistance, yea, for all strength and grace. There is no greater truth than this, that we can do nothing of ourselves. John 15:5 and 2 Corinthians 3:5. Yet nothing by our own experience can effectually teach it to us. Indeed, we are a long time in learning that all our strength and salvation is in God. This is a life that I think no unconverted man can possibly live, and yet it is a life that every godly soul is pressing after in some good measure. Let it then be your great concern thus to devote yourself and all to God. I long to see you, that I may say much more to you than I can now say for your benefit and welfare, but I desire to commit you to and leave you with the Father of mercies and God of all grace, praying that you may be directed safely through an evil world to God's heavenly kingdom. I'm your affectionate, loving brother, David Brainerd. Over the Forks of the Delaware River, July 31st, 1744. So, friend, certainly the greatest and noblest pleasure of intelligent creatures must result from their acquaintance with the blessed God and with their own rational and immortal souls. And oh, how divinely sweet and entertaining is it to look into our own souls when we can find all our powers and passions united and engaged in pursuit after God, our whole souls longing and passionately breathing after a conformity to Him and a full enjoyment of Him. Verily, there are no hours pass away with so much divine pleasure as those that are spent in communing with God in our own hearts. Oh, how sweet is the spirit of devotion, a spirit of seriousness and divine solemnity, a spirit of gospel simplicity, love, and tenderness. Oh, how desirable and how profitable to the Christian life is the spirit of holy watchfulness and godly jealousy over ourselves, when our souls are afraid of nothing so much as that we shall grieve and offend the blessed God, whom at such times we apprehend or at least hope to be a father and friend, whom we then love and long to please rather than to be happy ourselves, or at least we delight to derive our happiness from pleasing and glorifying Him. Surely this is a pious temper worthy of the highest ambition, in closest pursuit of intelligent creatures and holy Christians. Oh, how vastly superior is the pleasure, peace, and satisfaction derived from these divine frames to that which we, alas, sometimes pursue in things impertinent and trifling. Our own bitter experience teaches us that in the midst of such laughter, the heart is sorrowful, and there is no true satisfaction but in God. But alas, how shall we obtain and retain the sweet spirit of religion and devotion? Let us follow the apostle's direction, Philippians 2:12, and labor upon the encouragement he there mentions, verse 13. For it is God alone can afford us his favor, and he will be sought too, and it is fit we should wait upon him for so rich a mercy. Oh, may the God of all grace afford us the grace and influence of his divine spirit, and help us that we may from our hearts esteem it our greatest liberty and happiness, that whether we live, we may live to the Lord, or whether we die, we may die to the Lord, that in life and death we may be his. In a very poor state of health, I think scarce ever poorer, but through divine goodness I am not discontented under my weakness and confinement to this wilderness. I bless God for this retirement. I never was more thankful for anything than I have been of late for the necessity I'm under of self-denial in many respects. I love to be a pilgrim and stranger in this wilderness. It seems most fit for such a poor, ignorant, worthless, despised creature as I. I love to be a pilgrim and stranger in this wilderness. It seems most fit for such a poor, ignorant, worthless, despised creature as I am. I would not change my present mission for any other business in the whole world. I may tell you freely without vanity and ostentation. God has of late given me great freedom and fervency in prayer, when I have been so weak and feeble that my nature seemed as if it would speedily dissolve. I feel as if my all was lost and I was undone for this world. If the poor heathen may not be converted, I feel in general different from what I did when I saw you last, at least more crucified to all the enjoyments of life. It would be very refreshing to me to see you here in this desert, especially in my weak, disconsolate hours. But I think I could be content never to see you or any of my friends again in this world, if God would bless my labors here to the conversion of the poor Indians. I have much that I could willingly communicate to you, which I must omit until Providence gives us leave to see each other. In the meantime, I rest your obliged friend and servant, David Brainerd. To a special friend, a minister of the gospel in New Jersey, the Forks of the Delaware, December 24, 1744. Reverend and dear brother, I have little to say to you about spiritual joys and those blessed refreshments and divine consolations with which I have been much favored in times past. But this I can tell you, that if I gain experience in no other point, yet I am sure I do in this, namely, that the present world has nothing in it to satisfy an immortal soul, and hence, that it is not to be desired for itself, but only because God may be seen and served in it. And I wish I could be more patient and willing to live in it, for this end, than I can usually find myself to be. It is no virtue, I know, to desire death, only to be freed from the miseries of life, but I want that divine hope which you observed when I saw you last. Sinews of vital religion. Earth can do us no good, and if there be no hope of our doing good on earth, how can we desire to live in it? And yet we ought to desire at least to be resigned to tarry in it, because it is the will of our all-wise sovereign. But perhaps these thoughts will appear melancholy and gloomy, and consequently will be very undesirable to you, and therefore I forbear to add. I wish you may not read them in the same circumstances in which I write them. I have little more to do and suffer in a dark, disconsolate world, and then I hope to be as happy as you are. I should ask you to pray for me, were I worth your concern. May the Lord enable us both to endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ, and may we obtain mercy of God to be faithful to the death, in the discharge of our respective trusts. Very unworthy brother and humble servant, David Brainerd.